Morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Hey, Rick.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. We missed you last month. It was kind of, you know, vacations, all this other good stuff going on.
Understandable.
But, the, you know, summer's moving along quickly. You know, U.S. Open will be starting in another week or so. So it's been a fast summer. So I think we'll just start, though, with an update. Our grass court tennis event has paid dividends.
Right.
I think one of the guys we told you about last year. So this was a prospective client that, you know, we've known a little bit, and I knew him from Sea Colony. And this is one of the guys last year. He came to the tennis event. And then we went down to Sea Colony, and we took out him and his wife a year ago for dinner, and we met his wife and all this other stuff. And it's funny, Dave, I was even thinking about that, and his wife was even saying, what is wealth management?
Yeah.
Right? Sure. Is that what she said?
Yeah, sure. No, it's what she said. She said, like, can you explain, like, I know you said you work, like, in finance, what do you guys do? It was like, kind of like a very, yeah.
So, anyway, long story short, that was one of the recommendations you made last year, to, you know, target some of the people, take them out for dinner, yeah, blah, 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 to enjoy the Sea Colony, you know, women's tennis, too. So, anyway, this year he came back again, and bottom line is he just transferred in about $5 million.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
New relationship.
Tom?
Tom Beret, right.
Right.
So we sort of knew, you know, we're getting an indication, and then, but what he did, like, so we met with him, I met with him down the beach, actually, to go over our stuff. He felt comfortable, and he was ready to sign everything, but, you know, he's an executive recruiter, so he said, Rick, we're ready to go, but we'd like to get, if you could just give us a couple of your clients, we'd love to talk to them, you know, just get a, feel. Yeah. So we gave him some, you know, a cross range. I said, I'm not going to give you the tennis guys that you've already met, so we gave him some different clients. And so he actually called him.
Wow.
And yeah, and he goes, it's in his DNA, I guess, from being a recruiter, just check references and things like that. So he did that. And actually, yeah. And then he even called Sam, even though it's not one of the names I gave him. And it's interesting, though. He was asking them very good questions. He was very diligent about it. And then one of them, though, he asked, and this is regarding Dave, and it said, well, we know Rick is not ready to retire anytime soon, but, you know, what do you think? Are you comfortable with Dave? And if Rick retires, would you feel comfortable, you know, going with Dave and stuff like that? Which they were thinking forward. He really was very thoughtful in his questions.
Right.
And obviously every client, you know, was just very, and then one of our clients even told him that, you know, how nice it is now that because we're working with their children who are now in their 30s and 40s and helping them along with their needs. And this is, and Tom and Margot, his wife, really love that too. So, you know, this is not a short-term relationship. It's a long-term relationship, and it's like it's good. So literally, the asset just came in maybe a week ago. We're having another call with them later today just to go over more of the financial planning stuff. And they're going to be great clients. I mean, they have the right perspective. They're really not short-term oriented, and I do think he could be a great center of influence going forward.
Well, and now just, you know, project the revenues from that over a 20 or 30 year period.
Yeah, really.
That's what it really worth.
Yeah, no, it was great. But this was, that's a direct result of doing the tennis event. And then with the follow up at the beach, by taking them out for dinner. And those were all things that we talked about. You know, and this one came literally, you know, 1 year after the first event that we did.
Okay, so, you know, just doing the math, the question becomes the future value of that account over a 20-year period at $50,000 a year is $1 million. Okay. So when you think of it that way, then you consider your investment. Even if
couple thousand bucks.
Right. So keep in mind today, one of the topics I want to talk about is budgeting and the investments that you make in your own practice. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's where my head is today. And so I'll let that slip a little bit early, but I can't wait for more updates.
Okay.
And Rob, I'll jump in. I would say, you know, just hearing Tom speak at the dinner this year, you talk about somebody that will enthusiastically endorse Rick and Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
He is going to be somebody, especially after all those calls that he made to your existing clients.
That's what I told him.
He's going to be the perfect guy to be able to do that for you all. So
yeah.
He's going to be a great long-term client.
We gave you the follow-up after. I'm pretty sure we did after the tennis event. We gave, you know, that
yeah.
Sam was the one who gave us an endorsement, and then Tom jumped in. That was a couple glasses of wine, I think, that took over.
Worth it.
More than a couple glasses.
And
he still did his
diligence after that to follow through. But you're right, though. That was a nice win, and it's a quality win that is, you know, a good long-term, again, as you're saying, if we look at then. So Emily just jumped in, and Rob was just saying, but looking at the revenue over the next, you know, 20 years for him, you know, from the relationship.
So worth.
You know,
yeah.
That was just that, and that's literally though, I consider that a quick win for 1 year after, and now next year we're targeting this other tennis player who couldn't make it this year, Rob Lavitt, who is the SoFi general counsel.
Yeah.
And we took him and his wife out to dinner this time, and they really had so much in common with Clark and Sam. It was just like, it was crazy. And he's going to retire maybe a year from now. So, anyway.
Yeah, I think oftentimes we don't, Rick, you see it. I mean, you do it for all the right reasons because you're a giver. But sometimes we don't see the value of the work that it takes to get these kind of accounts, you know, because frankly, we didn't grow up marketing this way, you know.
Right.
So the transition from, you know, seminars and cold calling to smart marketing and this long-term marketing is a hard transition for most FAs. And they just aren't willing to do it. And you can see the difference between going the extra step, right? I mean, you had preliminary steps, but then you went the extra steps. And those extra steps is what, frankly, brought in this client. And just think, you could have done this whole, you could have done the marketing without the extra steps. And it probably wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part of this.
No, I agree. I mean, the extra steps really solidified the relationship, and it just helped move this along.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You moved it down the field. You constantly moved it down the field. And how many people stop with the event, you know? We played the football game. Yeah, but you didn't move the ball down the field, you know. you didn't score. You did not finish. You started, but you didn't follow through. And so that's kind of the it isn't just the creativity of coming up with the event. It's the follow through and the finishing. And then learning from it and growing from it. And if that works, then let's repeat it and let's improve on it. So keep going. You're doing great.
Well, here's the other piece, though. Here's the other piece that really worked. And so one of the things about Tom, he had a good relationship with an advisor for 20 years.
Yep.
And
yep.
This advisor was retired. And his, I guess, person who was going to take over, they never developed a relationship with.
Right.
So the timing was good. And he said, Rick, honestly, he said, if this was a couple of years ago, we wouldn't even be having this conversation because this guy, you know, he was fine. I mean, everything was working fine. And as it turns out, I have another relationship that I've known from the community, the stuff like that, for the last 15 years. And he's going through the same thing. His advisor for the last 20-some years, who he was very happy with, is retiring. He has a young guy taking it. He doesn't have any relationship with him. And he's, you know, and what he said, the guy is retiring at the end of the year. And this could be, you know, $8 to $10 million that he has that he said, I'm going to move it over to you. But he wants to wait. He's basically saying he wants to wait until this guy retires at the end of the year.
We're trying to push him a little bit to, you know, until the end of the year. He's an older guy. He's got some health stuff going on. Not that, you know, we're like concerned, but it's just, you know, we're kind of pushing him to say, you know, let's just start the process and start talking about our strategy and our thoughts on the portfolio.
Yeah. So, and he could tell he's almost like, well, you know, again, because he had a good relationship, he doesn't want to go there yet. And, but he's, it's kind of crazy, and that's leading to another one. So it's almost like there's another market out there for these people that have had good relationship with advisors who are now retiring. And that's probably why Tom Beret asked a question about Dave.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, so here's what you've discovered, okay? There are trigger points here, okay? Triggering events. We call them red letter days in life, all right? And those are when you, you know, get married, have a baby, things like that. That's when people are ready to make a change. So red letter days are critical for you to understand. Not only are they important for you to recognize them for people, but it's important for you to know that their mind is ready to change, which is very difficult. Very difficult to make people make change, right? They hate change. They want everything.
Right.
Everything's good, right? But when they do anything that's really disruptive in their life, they're ready to make a change. So just an interesting exercise would be to put down all the different things that people, the events that happen in people's lives where they are ready to make a change. Because look how hard it is, guys. Very difficult to get people, especially when they've got $10 million, to move.
Mm-hmm.
They've
yeah.
been there for a long time. So what will make them move? Well, when their financial advisor retires, okay? When they move, okay? When they physically move, that's a chance to get them as a client. I'm going through it right now. I moved from Indianapolis to Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and wow. I swore I'd keep all my doctors. Well,
oh,
see what I mean? And I'm not
going.
I'm moving all my doctors.
Hmm.
And so, you know, theoretically, I would move my financial advisor if there was a, not that I would, but I mean, it's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disruption. It's an opportunity where people are more open to change. Okay? So just kind of make a list of what red letter days are. People get married, people move, they get divorced, you know, somebody dies. All those things are important change days when their brain is going, wow, as long as I've made this change, I will possibly make another change. Now, what you also heard, which I know you heard, was that teams are critical.
Yeah.
You didn't even know, you probably really didn't think about it that much, how important that is. But it's continuity, see? Once they make a change, they don't want to make another change. It's too disruptive, too painful for them. For you guys, it's great. It's a new beginning. For them, it's like, ugh, pain.
Yeah. So the other piece I just wanted to say, though, is that Tom already met Margaret, Emily, you know, with Dave, obviously, but I mean, because at the dinner, and then so he was very comfortable now working with Margaret. He knows her role, which she's
right.
going to be doing. We actually, this is Emily, we have a new tech support person in our region, and we decided it was worthwhile to set up a separate technology call with Tom and his wife to get them set up online to do my total picture, which is our, you know, aggregator type thing, because he still has a couple of, you know, accounts he's holding outside at Fisher Investments. I don't know if you're familiar with them. But
oh, God. Get him out of there.
I think we should. No, I think we will. But they're charging him, I mean, a lot of, I mean, higher fees than normal.
Yeah. And, a horrible place.
But yeah, but he's been in there for maybe last, you know, he hasn't been through a downturn with them, and he's telling me that, you know, their claim to fame was that they're going to just, you know, reduce their downside volatility.
Right.
But they have nothing to prove it.
That means they're going to underperform.
Right. So I don't think it's a question. So we're already going to we put them on our website. So that we're able to see it, monitor that, and
yeah.
I would say within the next year or so that money will be here. Because, and Tom even said, he said, look, even though I'm keeping that at Fisher, I'm using you guys as my overall advisor, and it's not, you know, we're going to be looking to you for the advice, and we're not, but I just want to keep that money there. And there's like $3 million, I guess, Dave, something like that.
He's got probably, yeah, it's all retirement money. It's probably a 2.6, 2.7 at Fisher, and another. Yeah, I mean, there's at least, you know, we won, like, you know, we got like a $5 million portion of the relationship. There's probably another, you know, $3 million that I think in the next year or two after we kind of show our process, and
right.
I think performance will speak for itself, and, you know, I think that ultimately it could very well be a $7-8 million relationship in the upcoming, you know, 12 to 24 months.
Right. Good.
So, but the point is, though, they were already, I mean, they knew the team. Emily's part of this team. Margaret, Dave, and now we introduced Bethany, who's the technology, and they consider, you know, she's part of our team.
Right.
You know, any tech issues that, you know, she's there for them. So, you know, we're just expanding on that and just making them feel as comfortable as possible that, you know, this is what we do. This is how we do treat our people. And that's why they're with us for decades, not, you know, trying to do short-term stuff.
All right. So when he comes in, what I would suggest would be to ask him the question, you've done your due diligence, Tom. What made you make the decision to move to us?
Well, I think they pretty much, you know, they were telling, and they said it's the trust of and relationship that, you know, I've developed over the years, but now that they've seen now with everything we put together for them. But they just had that, you know, trust and relationship, and I think it's philosophy. You know, we talked about, you know, what our, you know, we're a longer term. You know, we want to do the right thing, and for our clients.
And I think Tom at the dinner at least had said, like, I appreciate that you didn't push me too.
Right.
You let me come to this
right.
at my own pace.
Yeah.
And that you did the right thing. you know, you guys were professional, and I knew I would come to you, like, eventually.
Right.
But you didn't push me to get me out of my comfort zone. So
yeah.
I think he appreciated that patience as well. And you said, you did it so perfectly, Rick. You said, you know, we just do the right thing, whether it leads to business or not. And I think everybody at that table kind of nodded their heads and realized that there are other advisors that are out there that might be a little pushier you know, in that situation.
And I think Sam said the same thing, right? Yeah. So I guess that was the one takeaway. We gave him the time. I mean, even though we knew that, you know, hey, we invited him to our event, we didn't like hound him then every week.
Right.
Moving over.
So there's a process, right? I mean, think about the process that your brain goes through when you're trying to make a decision or make a change or learn something new. It's always the same: curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. So sometime down the road, when you feel comfortable, ask him that question. But ask him, you know, Tom, what are the three things that really determined for you that you'd make the change?
Well, I will guarantee you he will have that, because we found out Tom is a very process-driven guy. Just the way they attacked, you know, how they were even doing this transfer, once they both agreed that they wanted to do it, but still wanted to do more due diligence. And, it was pretty cool. I mean,
now, he's kind of a consultant, right?
That's what he is. He's an executive recruiter.
Executive recruiter.
So one of the things, see, he's very familiar with this whole process of change, right? He's got to do the same thing. An executive recruiter is somebody that creates opportunity and then helps people make change and guides them through that change process. He's a perfect advocate for you guys. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the question becomes, and when the time is appropriate, you ask him, Tom, how would you suggest that we work together to help more people receive the benefits of what you found was of value? And let him do it. He will know. He will have already thought through this. See, he's a networker. He's a connector. So when he likes somebody, he's going to make sure you get introduced. So you just want to ask him how's the best way for you to work with him.
Yeah.
Because he's
going to
be... I guess
we're doing a testimonial next year at the tennis event. Tom.
He is. Right. Well, and he will. See, he will. And so what you want to do is you want to be asking the most powerful thing you can do in life as a compliment to somebody is ask for their advice. So don't ask him for introductions. Ask him for advice. It's really important. And he will help.
Yeah.
He will be an advocate. How's the best way for us to work together? You know, what can I just kind of help me help you? What can I do for you? And you already know what you can do for us because you've already done it. Basically. So you want to think about, you know, what can you do for him? You know, get him in a position where he meets people. That's really what he needs, right? Meets people, and then they go to him and say, hey, I'm thinking about making a change.
Yeah.
So now this, just back to the team thing, I cannot emphasize how important that is. So when you introduce, whether you do it in a formal five-star model presentation where everybody stands up and gives their roles and responsibilities, or you do it over dinner and just have everybody there and meet their team and you meet their team, or at lunch or visit their office or they visit your office, however you guys think it's important. But one of the things that you said was that Tom got a chance to meet everybody, and his wife did. that's critical. Yeah. Not just a sometimes thing, an every time thing. And people.
And I think it was even better. I was just going to add, Rob, that I think it was even better that we had gotten to meet in a less, you know, in a more informal way, right? It wasn't in our office in a presentation about investments. It was over a dinner, whether it's a tennis event or a dinner down in Delaware with husband and wife, where it was just more of you get to know each other. That's Rick's point of building that trust and building the relationship prior to even getting into the business aspect. So it was kind of getting to know us on a personal level, build the relationship, right. And then they go, hey, we really like these guys. We feel really comfortable with them. Now let's talk business and your process, and I want to talk to some of your clients, et cetera, et cetera.
But what his wife said was really important was, what do you guys actually do? You see, at some point in the social environment, you've got to explain what each person's roles and responsibilities are, because they don't have a clue who they're meeting. So it's not just enough that you meet socially and introduce people. It's that they know, okay, so you're this person and you're this. They like to put people in a box that helps them. So if I need this, I go to you. If I need this, I go to you. Now, whether you can do that in a social situation, that takes some skill. But that's the idea, is that it's beyond simply an introduction, because that won't mean too much because they don't know what you do. Okay, just share that.
Yeah.
Yep, makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to do that, but you guys are pretty good at this, so
yeah.
Think about
it. What I was going to say, so when I went down to give them our, we actually met at the beach, but one of the things we put together, we, you know, just highlighted what our service model is, our 12-4-2, and they were very, you know, they just loved that. They ate it up. Ate it up. And,
<That's right. laughs>
and I told them, I said, the reason we do that, not only that, is that I said, it really deepens our relationship. I said, we really get to know you guys. You guys know us. I mean, there's no, you know, it's just, it saves so much time. I said, it's very proactive. It's not reactive. Mm-hmm. We know what's going to happen. You know, if this happens in the market, we're going to do what we're going to do and all these other kind of crazy things. So, you know, it just, I don't know, it fit, though. That's what they were looking for, something like that. They're not short-term oriented. So, anyway, it is a nice model, and I think our process helped them. You know, we didn't talk about, you know, I mean, we talked about investment philosophy in a sense, but more of a long-term.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. So I really believe that this is going to be a nice, a great long-term relationship just from them. But as you said, he's a connector.
And
Rob, the other thing I think from a marketing perspective that Dave and Rick are doing a great job of is also posting on LinkedIn and getting all the views and the likes of people seeing the activity. And it's not so much, you know, UBS CIO says this. It's more the personal side of things that Rick's supporting and Dave's doing in the community. I think those are things that people are eating up, really, and, again, opening the conversation even further. So I applaud them because it takes effort, you know, to be able to add those things.
Well, you know, it's funny because, again, I'm really not a big LinkedIn user, and Emily and Bethany, who's our new, she said, try. So we did. We put just pictures of our cricket event, of the other Sea Colony event. What did we just put under something else? Oh, I was in Chicago with Joe Madden and everything else like that. The likes or the views I got on that were like in the thousands. Sometimes I try to post an article on there. You get like 2 views or something. You know, so it really is the experiences, not the, you know, the content. I mean, we have so much content, Rob, that we can put something out all the time, but I don't know if that's effective, and it's like you can see by the number of people who view the stuff.
Now, I find the same thing. If I personally write an article and I put a picture with it, then I get a lot of hits. If I repost things, I sometimes, you know, I'll get some hits. If I, you know, it's just reposting is is fine, but it you know, it tells them that you're still alive. But other than that, it's not particularly. They
but it's funny.
You.
But that cricket event, I think, got close to, I don't know, over 1,000, maybe close to 2,000 maybe or something like that. Views.
Wow.
Now, you know, it's crazy. And we just tag everybody that's in it. So
let's talk about what else, Rick? What else is on your mind?
Well, so I think the piece was, though, as Dave and I were talking, you know, like there's this other person who I've had a long-term relationship with, but again, I never bugged it because they already had a relationship with somebody else. Now it's come time to change, and they're pretty much, he already told me, so it's, we're going to see. I mean,
yeah.
It's at the end of the year when this guy retires, he wants to move everything over here because we talked about taking care, because I knew his wife, I knew some of his children, and he felt more comfortable because now in transition, he wants somebody to have continuity that's going to take care of his wife and kids and so that his money's not squandered. And
right.
When I talk about with Dave, you know, I said, look, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, but with Dave in his 30s, I said, we can carry this forward for the next, you know, couple generations. And this is what we're finding is and I don't want to say hot button, but these people love it, that the fact that we can continue now. And so that's why, you know, Dave is in on all our calls that we're doing, so they're knowing him. It's not like, you know, they're going to say, if I retire, they're going to say, well, I don't know this guy, Dave.
It's really, I said that, it's really, really important. And I love the idea that you're having a technology call that shows breadth and depth of your team.
No, it is. Now, I wouldn't do that for everybody, but for these, you know, for a Tom and, you know, these, you know, 5 million plus clients, it's an easy one to do, a simple one, because, you know, if it's for just, you know, regular, I don't know. But this one is, I think it really made a big impact on them. They loved it.
Rob, you have any ideas in terms of, you know, what would be the hot button to potentially, you know, make someone like this guy we're talking about, the new prospect, who's already kind of said he's ready to make the move. Rick and I went over to his house. Probably, Rick, what was that, a few months ago, we went over to his house, and he showed us all of his artwork and all this stuff, and we sat down, and he didn't hand us his statements, but he was flipping through his current statements. He said, you know, my guy who I've been with for 20-plus years, he's going to be retiring, and, you know, he's like, you know, but I'm going to kind of wait. And we just, you know, we figure, you know, is the best practice just to kind of let him go at his speed like we've done in the past and it's been successful, you know, or are there any kind of trigger points to say, hey, here's an idea, you know, let's start this or that type of process. I think Rick and I had even talked about just taking him and his wife out locally to lunch just to kind of continue to build the trust on the personal side, although Rick's known him for, you know, decades.
Yeah.
But he's a big art person, and we have the UBS art gallery up in New York, and we're, you know, we've offered, I mean, to take him and this other person who's in New York, who's another one, and, you know, we're just making the offer. Not that they're going to do it, but, you know, just trying to show him some of that he has an interest in. And, I mean, because I guess from Emily, this is, you know, we do have it's a world-renowned, I mean, it's...
It's a pretty simple process, too.
Yeah.
The other one, did we nominate him for Art Basel as well for the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So that's another thing. We have this thing, Art Basel, in Miami. It's like this big art thing, and but he may not go, but it's almost like, I think sometimes you said, Rob, just... Extending the invitation.
Yeah, the invitation means a lot.
Yeah, the invitations are important. the lunch is important. The comfort thing. And what you're looking for is signals during the lunch. What am I hearing? You know, where's the hesitation? Is the wife engaged? Is she pushing back? Everybody, you know, anytime there's a change, everybody gets their two cents in. Okay, so once it becomes known that he, you know, even in his own family sometimes, that he wants to make a change. There's a possibility that the wife may have a different idea. And so you want to make sure that anybody in that chain of command has had the opportunity to meet you, and you treat them like they are the client. Okay?
Yeah, and I think that was what our original thought was, you know, whether to do something up in New York and, you know, do something locally, you know, with husband, wife, and potentially even one of the daughters who's local. Because, again, the clients are in their, you know, 80s, and the daughters, there's two daughters, I believe, who are both in their, you know, 50-ish range. So, you know, we want to make sure we're kind of all-encompassing in terms of, you know, all probably four of those parties.
Yeah, because they will have their ideas, you know. So you think, you know, I don't know if you've sold life insurance, but I've done it. And you think you're done, and then somebody swoops in and makes them a deal, you know, and all of a sudden it's gone. So No deal is done until it's done. You always treat it like it's, you know. And testimonials, you know, testimonials with other people are very important. So having him at a group function where all the clients are raving fans is also a, you know, instead of having to check around and make the phone calls, you make it easy for them to get the testimonials.
And it's kind of crazy because this same little web involves another person who lives in New York, probably in the, you know, $10 to $12-15 million, you know, range. I've had the family members of this woman, haven't had hers, she's with JP Morgan. But then her sister died, who was my client, but I know the nieces, she doesn't have any children, so she basically is taking care of all of the extended family, the kids and all that, and I have a relationship with all of them. And through all this stuff, she's now becoming, you know, she's in her late 80s, and she's now wants to, you know, change her, you know, she's doing her estate planning stuff and wants us to be trustee of UBS and then me, you know, manage relationships going forward with the rest of her family. And these are all sort of connected. So she's the one who told Roger about, you know, that she trusts me. And then, so it's kind of crazy. So these are other ones that are out there, Rob, that are just, but you can see it's this, the long-term relationships are benefiting. That when they're looking for continuity, because as they're aging, they want to make sure that their heirs are taken care of.
Right.
And it's almost like we're getting, you know. But that's, again, it's a longer process. So.
Right. So one of the things I'd like you guys to think about for 2020 is putting together, you know, we always say put together a business plan. Let's kind of go from a different direction. If you've done the business plan, great. But what I want is I want to know what your budget is. Okay? I'd like you to make a concrete budget. So what are you going to spend on advertising? What are you going to spend on marketing in terms of events? What are you going to spend on salaries, interns? How are you going to use other people's marketing budgets? Here's one of the things. If you don't plan this, you lose the opportunity to leverage your brand. Okay. Now, Emily is an advocate for you. Emily has a budget. Emily doesn't have the budget. She's
shrinking.
Wait, you've got this now,
Rob.
Tight budget. Tight budget. You missed the first tight budget.
Right. Emily doesn't have the budget she'd like to have, but she has the budget.
In life and in the branch.
Right. And if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's
Amen.
The truth. Yeah. No one gets what they don't ask for. So what you have to do is say, okay, we're willing to spend $40,000. Maybe we can get another $20,000 from other people. What would a $60,000 budget look like in terms of our business? And how would we use that effectively to entertain our clients, to do this, do this, do this? Now, you've already seen the benefit of it, right?
Right.
You've also got a charity budget, right? So what's that look like? So put all these things together, and how many people, Emily, how many of your FAs do this?
Maybe two other teams out of the entire branch.
Right. So you got 110 FAs, and you got two that are doing it. Or three, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's rudimentary, right? If you had the simplest auto dealership, you'd have a budget, right?
Yeah.
Anybody that's in the business of bringing in clients would have a budget and would spend money. Now, effective use of that's the critical thing. But you're not going to leverage your own budget unless you have one. And you can explain to people what they're going to be investing in. And then you go out and you sell it. And it's not a way, just think about it. This one account is going to bring in $50,000 or $60,000. Why not use that revenue, new revenue, to grow your practice, right? Because you know it works. If you didn't know it works, then it wouldn't make sense, but you know it works. So be one of the two people in the world that get it and treat their business like a business and make a budget and sit down with Emily and go through it. Because she's willing
Rob,
to be on the
Rob, here's a question,
call.
Though, I have. So yeah. I do a lot of local sponsorships, sponsoring, different charitable golf outings, charitable events. So sometimes, though, I think people who really don't know think it's just, like, I'm a branch manager for UBS.
Yeah.
That it's UBS doing this. It's not Rick Rogers doing this. And, the people that I know, obviously, do you know what I'm saying? It's almost like the local bank sponsors everything,
right,
too.
Yeah.
So they're figuring, local bank and UBS are the, like, corporate sponsors, but it's not, well, this is Rick Rogers, UBS.
You want to sub-brand yourself, okay? So in everything you do, you want to have your brand along with UBS. Never give anonymously.
Right.
Okay.
So, and I think that's where Rick and Dave had, like, the UBS logo with your name on it as well.
We
now
started doing, yeah. Now
because
we put Rogers Wealth Management. So that's what I'm using now instead of just, the UBS logo and then Rick, with just my information
right
on it.
So that's really important. So just do some planning, okay? And it's a great exercise. All the different budgets that you, all the different money that you give, what give to whom, everything you give, and say to yourself, is this a good use of my money? And look at what you spent, look where it's paid off. They do different things with, different reasons. Some of it you have to give, some of it you want to give, some of it's good investment. But it's all money. It's all real money, and it all counts. So put it down. Even if you say, I'm giving to the church, It's still you
yes.
giving, okay?
Yeah.
Left pocket, right pocket, who cares? It still
right.
comes out of your pocket eventually.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yep.
So the other piece is, too, just to even now, obviously, I think Emily's seeing this, but I want to make sure. Now, Ted understands that this is paying off already. He knows.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure because Ted is the, he's the – well, he's the member at Philly Cricket, so he's the one that started this, and that's how we just levered that. And so I think Ted sees that it was a good use of
– He wishes more people would do things like that, you know, but no one's done it to the success, I think, that
right.
Rick and Dave have because it's that follow-up and because it's
yeah.
the consistency in finding the right people that are passionate about it.
And I think
it's
the passion about it, too.
Yeah.
It's not
right.
just like a made-up event.
Yeah.
Like, you know, come on out and we're going to have a speaker and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, Emily, you see it all the time. People are on boards and they never develop any business from it. Or people are go to, you'll have an event, a golf event, and people, you can't even get them to show up. They show up, they meet their client, and they go home. There's no leverage. There's no use of the event to make it, to move the relationship along. You know, they don't, you know, bring a friend, bring a prospect. You know, it's crazy. I did it, you know, for years and years and watched the teams that were good at it. Leverage it, and the teams that weren't, you know, forget it. They have no clue. But anyway, you guys get it. So let's professionalize it now. Let's take it to the next level and think through it and get the input from everybody on your team. Once you put the plan together, it's a fungible plan that can change. So get input from everybody as to what do you guys think? Is this good use of our money? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And Dave is never, you know, how do I say it? He's eager to give his input, right, Dave?
I would agree. I don't overstep my boundaries, but I think Rick and I have a good and Emily included have a good relationship
yeah.
where we all speak our mind pretty openly and throw out ideas and some stick and some don't and it's all good.
Okay, I'll give you a last update, Rob. I know we got to yeah. jump off here in a second, but I'll give you an update on our boy Sam.
Yeah.
He left Homology. He's now the CEO of a new startup.
Oh, wow.
So it's a brand new startup. What is it called, Dave? Platelet?
Platelet Biosciences, I think.
Biosciences. He just started in July. He's going to take that. His whole goal with that is to, you know, it's backed by a bunch of Harvard
MBAs and
MBA,
Harvard Medical.
I mean, they've developed a technology. It's his job now to take it, commercialize it and everything else like that. So he's running from ground zero. We're in discussion with him. He's still maintaining. He's had a 10b5-1 plan. He's holding that, but Fix is getting whacked.
Yeah, I know. Any bad news there, or is it just the market?
Market, I think there was something, there was a news story regarding the technology, and we were actually on the phone with Sam, and I don't want to say anything, but Sam said, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think we're saying anything out of, Sam just, you know, there's going to be nothing until their clinicals are coming out, I guess, at the end of the year, right, Dave?
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, there's no news yet. There's, you know, reports and studies came out, and it's just questioning their science and how effective will it be when they go through clinicals and saying, see, this without CRISPR, it's not possible. You know, and there's just a kind of it was more of like a blog report than anything else. It wasn't
yeah.
like a scientist or anyone. And
but then it's
like
the market. So, but Sam said, I'm not worried about it. And so we're working through with him to, I guess, what is it, Dave? He has 90 days?
Yep.
From when he left. So we're working on his strategies for the Homology stock.
Yep.
So,
It's a tough market for small stocks. I mean, let's face it, they're all getting split. You know,
and then the last piece, though, the last piece is that he said, and by the way, are you guys working with Clark? He said, I'm going to bring it up to him that, you know, he should have, you know, wealth managers like you guys. And we said, look, at same deal, Sam. We're not pressuring Clark, or when it's time, you know, we'll figure it'll be. But he's the one even throwing it out there about Clark.
Oh, that's a riot.
So anyway.
That's great.
So hopefully there's much more coming, but it'll be interesting. We want to, you know, be on the, you know, with Sam along the way with this new venture he's doing, and you know,
it's good.
More to come,
yeah,
Bob. More to come.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yep.
Congratulations. So, congratulations. Way to follow through. And you're blessed to have Emily and a great team. Thank you for your confidence in Supernova and our team. So thank you very much. We look forward to you know, more great.
It's a good team. It's
forward.
A good team, Rob.
It is. I appreciate it and I value your friendship. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, enjoy the rest of the summer. We'll talk next month. Enjoy the U.S.
Okay.
Open too. All
right. Yeah. Enjoy. See ya.
Bye. Bye.